Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, joined once again by Jesus and Dwight of Telago. Thanks for coming back, you guys. Yeah, and like we left.
It's a pleasure.
So actually, you know, it's three days later.
It feels like we were just here.
And we've been talking about Soulware, and this is an exciting new tool for managing services, not just SOAP services, but any kind of service, which is awesome. SOAP, REST, OData, I love that. And so last time we saw kind of how you define a service, how you can centralize the configuration aspects of it and drive those out into your app. That was totally awesome. If you missed part one, go back and check it out. This time, though, we're going to look at something very interesting, is how do you test a service? So let's see that.
So part one, we show you how we centralize the configuration of bindings, behaviors, binding elements, behavior elements. Now, if we have all that, it's just safe to assume that we can test services very effectively.
Right.
Because one of the challenges that most, if not all, test tools have on the market is they can only test basic HTTP binding.
Yeah.
If I add security to it, or if I change the transport, if the test tool engine doesn't implement that protocol, it's impossible for it to test the service. So with Soulware, we implemented testing on demand, like the traditional way in which you can configure a test and test a service and see the results. And we also enable a scheduling mechanism on which you can schedule a set of tests, and we have something that runs and executes all the tests and logs the result and logs the message that we're exchanged.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So the experience here to define a new test is very simple. Let's pick the service that we have been using, the CRM subservice. You can tell us what version you're going to use,
okay,
which endpoint you want to test, and which operation. Let's suppose that we do get accounts. And you can schedule it for execution. You can group it into different categories.
Okay.
Now, that service, if you missed part one, was using those certificates.
Mm-hmm.
So if I try to test the service, so this is a message I'm going to send, and it's going to fail. Because
why?
I don't have security configured. And that would be the experience you get in with tools like SOAP UI or equivalent test tools. It's hard to test secure services. With Soulware, we have the security behavior that models the certificates you're going to use. So it's just a matter of selecting the behavior. Okay. If you're going to use username and password or Windows credentials, we have all the combinations. And when you test it, we're getting a response.
Ah, sweet.
Now, that's how you define a test.
Okay.
How do you, you can define it, save it, and schedule it for execution.
Okay.
Everything in Soulware is OData, and we weren't happy with the design until everything was OData. So tests are also OData enabled.
Okay.
Meaning you can browse all your tests using HTTP GETs, and you can also execute a test using just Internet Explorer.
Wow.
So I'm going to pick one of the tests we have configured.
Okay.
Get account test, and if you see the last segment of the URI is a test ID. I can go to Internet Explorer, and we have a test RESTful service on which you pass that ID, and that's giving me back the result of the test.
So it went off and ran the test and passed you back the result.
And
when
we go to the testing page, you can see that test just ran, and here are the details, the message that was sent, the response. And we're calculating certain analytics and certain metrics against the test. Now, if all the tests are executable through HTTP GETs, or a scheduler is very simple. Mm-hmm. It's a Windows service that queries Soulware and says, give me the test I need to execute, and it just fires off a bunch of HTTP GETs, and Soulware tracks the results.
Okay.
So when you install Soulware, you're going to see this Windows service that does all the scheduling for the test.
Yeah.
And right now, all my tests are disabled, so in order to do this real quick, I'm just going to shit and execute a SQL command that enables all my tests again. And we should see here in a second a few test results popped up. Like this one right here. Uh-huh. It was a test that just failed, and we can see the details. See, one went wrong, and we're seeing, hey, you know what? The maximum message quota is from. So it gives you an idea of what's wrong with the with your environment. So you're keeping we're keeping track of all the test execution and giving you statistics about the different tests, and you can filter based on service, you can filter based on date, you can filter based on test group.
Okay.
We plan to do a lot more with this, but it's our initial approach to try to simplify complex WCF testing, which is a great challenge.
You know, what's great about this is part of the challenge of being service-oriented, you know, so people start building composite applications, is managing the complexities of the dependencies. And so in part one, we saw how you guys register the dependencies, right? But then typically what happens is, you know, the app starts blowing up. And so users are calling the help desk, and I'm trying to use this app, it's blowing up. And then the help desk has this incredible challenge of figuring out, well, which part of it is blowing up, you know, and ideally you would like to detect the blow up before an end user does, right? So, you know, if you could have a tool like this, it's periodically pinging the service, kind of running through some synthetic transactions or something like that, maybe you could get an alert, you know, before the user calls you up, right?
And I haven't been emphasizing on this because it's kind of natural. Everything in software is an all data feed, so tests are also an all data feed, so you can subscribe your add-on trigger to the test of results, so at any point you can get an alert, hey, you know, this specific test.
You can put a little gadget on your desktop.
Absolutely. If you're crazy enough to do that.
Hey, nice. Jesus, why don't you show them the details about, like, the operations and how the operation calls go up and down according to what's going on?
Absolutely. So when you execute a test, I think I alluded to that. I'm showing one that failed. Let's show one that succeeded. We're tracking, you know, the specific message. This was an HTTP GET, so there is no input. The specific message that came back, the response code you get. We also support your non-XML payloads like JSON and that type of things. And the interesting part that we haven't shown is, this is complemented by the monitoring subsystem. So you can enable monitoring on your services, and as the tests are being executed, we're not only tracking the test pass, hear the message, but also statistics about the message exchange. What was the average response time? You know, all the different things.
You know, what's huge about this, the fact that you just mentioned something very important. And of course, what we've been seeing is all XML.
Absolutely.
But JSON is actually becoming much more important in a lot of scenarios, particularly people who are writing, you know, a lot of RESTful services that are designed to be accessed by pages, browser-based code, or with HTML5, this is going to become even more important.
Absolutely.
With a lot of mobile phone apps, you know, you would rather push JSON down to the phone rather than XML because it's so much lighter on the wire.
Right.
And yet, most of the traditional tools that are in the space, they only understand XML, they only understand WSDL, they can't help you with, you know, a REST service that returns JSON.
So when in the same way that in the last episode we created a SOAP service, you can create a RESTful service,
right?
And as part of the service definition, you can specify the payload that is support. So by default, we help you. It's XML. We know how to test it. It's Atom. We know how to test it. It's JSON. We know how to test it. If you have your own protocol or something, it might be more difficult.
But
at least those three protocols, which encoding formats, which are very popular, we do support it out of the box.
Well, so you know, if you've got a web app, whether it's a phone app or, you know, just a browser-based app using kind of Ajax stuff, I really want to know that my services are not falling over, right? Yeah, exactly. Again, it's a thing I want to know before the end user knows. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of times on the web, an end user will just give up. They won't call anybody. They'll be just like, wow, that service. That page ain't working. Forget that. I'll go use something else, you know, right?
Absolutely. So the next part we wanted to show you, before we leave test, and the fact that we're exposing everything to our data, which is a question we get a lot. We think SOAR does a very good job testing GovCF services, but that's not the only thing you want to test in your enterprise. Normally, this type of tests are combined with something else.
Right.
So given that everything is accessible through HTTP GET, it's really easy for us to plug in onto things like Team Foundation Server, or MS Test, or End Unit, JUnit, any other testing frameworks. And we're shipping some examples of how to do that. You have to write minimum amount of code, because it's just you want to execute a test, make an HTTP GET, get the results, log it however you're doing it. So it's we're giving you the interface. We're taking you probably 80-85% of the way there. But if you're not happy with the way we're rendering the results or the stacks, if you have certain policies or a test tool or framework that you really like, you can plug in SOAR really easily.
Exactly.
Well, that's huge, because so if you're the kind of shop where you like to do continuous integration,
absolutely,
you might want to have your build server, push these things out into a dev environment, run through a set of integration tests, using your tool to do it would be awesome.
Yeah. And given that we host everything, bindings, behaviors, you don't have to be concerned of, hey, I have to write the client code that use Dallas 2007 HTTP binding with this configuration and host a config file. You can have all this safe here and just execute an HTTP GET and the test just works.
Well, and in fact, you could even write your build such a way so that it automates the registration of the service entirely through OData. So it's not like, we have to have somebody go in the web UI and register the service.
Absolutely.
So you could get it like all the way to the build server, builds it, it deploys it into SOAR, fires off the test, we get the results back, and we know if we're green or red, right?
Exactly.
And we do believe that customers and people like yourself, experts on the technology, are going to tell us what other scenarios are great for this. I mean, we included the ones we felt really confident that were needed, but I'm pretty sure there are people that are going to come up with some crazy integration paradigm that we haven't thought about it, and we're just going to welcome it.
Yeah.
Right. One of the other samples that we thought about that we've built and actually included is one that integrates with BizTalk Server. Where you know how BizTalk Server utilizes UDDI for resolving addresses and configuration information. Well, we have a resolver as well for SOAR that BizTalk can use to access the SOAR metadata about a service.
So integration with our technologies is something that we're really looking into. So BizTalk being a natural fit, because it already includes the ESB toolkit, includes a UDDI registry. Windows Azure is another interesting example of how would something like this look in Windows Azure is something that we're thinking and trying to to figure out, integrated with technologies like SharePoint and the App Fabric. Our monitoring system is already integrated with the App Fabric, but probably more.
Oh, so you can actually output events into the App Fabric monitoring store? Awesome. Oh, I love that. Okay. So where do we want to see next?
I think monitoring is the next natural thing to see. In the same way we're testing service, when you define a service, let me go back. You can select the level of monitoring you want to enable.
Okay.
So we give you either we host two services, one using REST, one using SOAP TCP binary encoded to make it very efficient, that track events from the service and save it to our own. We have a very scalable database model that tracks events, and then we calculate some statistics on top of that.
Right.
Now, given that SOAR hosts all the configuration, that monitoring is just a behavior. You enable it here, and then when the host downloads a configuration, it knows, you selected monitoring, so I'm just going to plug in this behavior. You don't have to go to a config file and enable monitoring.
Right,
we do that for you.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So it's very simple. We give you certain charting against the three services. We're tracking stacks like the average response time, and you can see certain details in terms of the operations of the service, or the number of errors. You can see that this operation is failing quite a bit. We also track, this is actually quite interesting, syncs at the protocol level, so we track all the messages being exchanged.
Yeah.
And you can see, the message, the response message, the request message, the security payload. If you're securing your service, we track that, and you can see the different security headers. So in case you're testing interoperability or things like that,
yeah,
it's kind of important. So, for instance, this operation should have probably some security information.
And now, so there it is, yeah.
So you're seeing the ones that failed. You can actually see what's wrong. And, the specific exception.
Okay.
Now, enabling this is very simple. You just go to your service and say, I want to monitor it. And then our host takes care of the rest. Mm-hmm. So if I run the client, I think where our client is invoking this service. If I run our client app again, we should probably in a matter of seconds see a new call here on you see the 601st call, and we can actually see the details, and we see that it was successful, and you can see certain stacked in terms of the usage of your service. So this is something that is just going to get better. We're looking at improving the sharding. We're looking for feedback. I would like to see this specific metrics, but it gives you a certain level of monitoring that right now is, kind of missing if you don't have something like the App Fabric.
Right, and another thing we're exploring is the possibility of even exporting these results out to a tool like SQL Reporting Services. Or figuring out a way in which we can connect everything.
Which
together.
Is not that hard because everything is all data, and the new reporting service is all data friendly, so you can just subscribe to the feed, import the data, or or into something like Power Pivot if you want to do it in Excel. So it's
Now so you mentioned PowerShell support. Tell me about that.
So SOLARWARE is a tool for WCF management.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people that manage these services, they hate code and they love scripts.
Yeah.
And you guys, a few years back, released one of the most powerful scripting engines in the world, right? PowerShell. So in the same way that everything you can do with SOLARWARE is accessible through OData, now everything that you can do in the UI or through OData is also accessible through PowerShell. So we release like how many commandlets?
20 different commandlets or more.
Yeah. Basically every other functionality that is available on the UI is available through PowerShell. So when you download software, there is a separate installer for the PowerShell provider.
Yeah.
And this is kind of how it looks. The first thing you have to do is just point it to run the commandlet that points PowerShell to or RESTful service.
Yeah.
And from there on, you kind of start doing things like, hey, let me give me all my services. Or give me all my bindings. Or execute a test. I want to execute this specific test. And that's giving you the result. So we have a set of commandlets that give you a basic functionality, and we expect people to do things like, querying software with this, export it to Excel, and doing something else. So it's just a basic functionality to enable access to software from the command prompt without having to access the UI or to access the OData API for something that is purely from the operational perspective.
So all of the basic CRUD operations, the creating, reporting, updating, and deleting, it's all there for the PowerShell commandlets.
Well, what's great about this is that, it empowers the IT administrator kind of guy, who just wants to script a bunch of stuff. And, that's totally awesome.
We think SOLARWARE is really rich on its functionality, but I think from the operational perspective, there are a lot of things that could be enhanced, and enabling something like this is going to put the power in the hands of those operation right. people that they know exactly what they want. So probably they want to use this and log it into SCUM or doing something else that is specific to their environment. So we're just enabling the infrastructure and let them go wild in terms of the possibilities they can do.
So we said in part one that this tool, SoAware, is a tool that you're going to make available for free to people who want to try it out for up to 7 services mm-hmm. and you know can check it out. And it's released now?
It is yes. released as of this morning. It is released.
Awesome. So where can people get this?
So they can go to talagostudios.com. And there is a very simple registration form, only 4 fields, your name, email. When you fill that form, you receive an email with the license key, a link to the software. You can download, apply the license key, you're good to go.
Okay, so talagostudios.com. Yep. All right, so we'll put a link with this episode so that people can mm-hmm. see right in there on Channel 9 where to go get it. This is really cool stuff, guys. I am so excited that you built this. I look forward to seeing kind of where it goes. And
we're excited. You're excited.
It's good stuff. What can I say? Hey, thanks so much for coming and sharing with us. And thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.